Mark, why don't you go ahead and mute my microphone? We'll just use the lectern one. I want to start out this morning with the H word, humility. What H word were you expecting? I'm not sure, we'll do a poll on that later. But I want to talk about humility and humbleness and work through that question for today. You see, what we've been doing is we've been walking through this question of who are we as a congregation? What does it mean to be Shepherd of the Hills in the year 2025? And so what I want to do is I want to walk through a couple of different passages and talk about what they mean for us. If you go and put up that first slide, and this is from what Shelley had just read for us. It's this really interesting passage here, and there's all this stuff that happens in this last week of the life of Jesus, and we're going to explore a couple of them today. And what happens is, it's like in the church life, there's so much to cover, and we've got the last week of Jesus, it just kind of gets compressed, it gets nailed down, and so we don't have space to get through all this stuff. And so things get lost. But there's this interesting piece here. What happens is the mother of James and John, two of the disciples, during this last week of Jesus' life, she comes to Jesus and she kneels down and she says, I have this request. When you come into your kingdom, when you come into power, because everybody's thinking that Jesus is going to be an earthly king and cast out the Romans and get rid of all the powers and cleanse the temple. She says, when you do that, can you make my sons your key lieutenants? The person who sits at your left and your right, the person who's right there beside you, the person with all the power and glory. And on one hand, as a parent, we get this, and even those of us who aren't parents, I'm sure it's easy to understand. You want the best for your kids. You want them to be recognized for the things that they've done and the potential they have. And Jesus is just like, no, you're not getting this. And that's when he says this, what I've got up on the screen there. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. And on one hand, that makes sense for us. This whole idea of giving his life for ransom for many is referring to his death on the cross. But the bigger piece of it there is that line, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And that's what we want to key off of today, because we want to be like Jesus in this respect. We want to be servants of all. Go and roll to that next slide, please. I want to share this story from you from John. And this is one of the stories that we talk about. If you've been here on Maundy Thursday and you've seen the Maundy Thursday play, it's a key piece of that. Every year for Maundy Thursday, what we do is we reenact the story of the Last Supper. And it's really meaningful. And it's just fascinating to put that out, because a lot of us just, we miss that story. But what happened in the Gospel of John is John records that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And for us, we kind of look at that like, huh, that's interesting. Don't quite know what to make of it. But when you go back to the culture 2,000 years ago, it's a really shocking event. You see, in those culture, in that time, if you had to go anywhere, you walked. You walked on dusty roads wearing sandals, if you had sandals, and you shared those roads with animals. And so when you get to where you're going, you'd be greeted at the door by the lowest slave in the house. And that slave would have a basin and a towel and water. And they would wash all the stuff off your feet. And so when Jesus washes his disciples' feet, what he's doing is he's performing the work of a slave. And he's saying, you guys need to love each other and care for each other the same way that I have. Out of humbleness. And what Jesus says is, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. He's saying, look, you need to understand this. You need to be like me. And sometimes what happens is our pride gets in the way, and we want to be like, do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? But Jesus, who's the one who created everything, who is the beginning and the end, is like, yeah, I know who you are, and I'm still the one acting like a servant. I'm still the one acting out of humbleness and compassion. Sometimes we have our pride get in our way. As many of you know, many, many decades ago, I was interning with the St. Paul Police Department, and it was a fascinating and thought-provoking summer. Learned a ton. And the way that program worked is you'd spend 3-4 days at each unit, and you'd each unit, each department, and you'd just see what they did, how it worked, and you just got a view into what they did. And I remember showing up at the police impound lot one day, and it was this big grassy field filled with probably 100, 150 cars that had been abandoned, seized, confiscated, you name it, they were there. And I was greeted by the guy in charge, sergeant there, big black guy, shaved head, probably 2-3 inches taller than me. And I was scrawny back in those days, unlike now. And this guy probably outweighed me by 120 pounds, all of it muscle. And he gave me this speech, which I'm sure he gave to all the interns. And he said, look, sometimes interns come down here and they say, I don't want to do this because it's not police work. And he fixes me with this glare. And he says, if I have to do it, it's police work. I'm like, yes, sir. How can I help? Really interesting experience. But that lesson has stuck with me for these decades because we do this sometimes. We get in front of ourselves and we think, it's not ministry unless I'm up front, unless I'm doing stuff, unless people can see how important I am. And that's a real danger for those of us up front, because it's easy to live for those compliments and those accolades. And what we're called to do is to be like Jesus. We're called to serve and serve humbly. And so when we wrote this mission statement, what we said is we are called to serve others. We love God, we grow in the Holy Spirit, and we serve others. And one of the things that we did as we walked through that, one of the discussions that we had, and as we wrote this, we had a number of fascinating and thought-provoking discussions. And one of the things that we talked about was, is it serve others or serve God's people? And even though theologically we know serving God's people means everybody in this world, because every human being is made in the image of God, sometimes, even though our head says God's people is everybody, our heart says just the good people, just the people who deserve it. And so we intentionally wrote serving others. If you want to go ahead and put up that last slide. Again, in those last days, Jesus says to people, he says, look, when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And what he's saying is when you serve the people like that, when you serve those who are hungry, who are naked, who are thirsty, the stranger, the sick, those in prison, you're serving him. You're serving all those made in God's image. And sometimes it's hard. But let me tell you this. It's freeing to say, you know what? I'm just going to go serve. I'm not going to worry about the ego. I'm not going to worry about anything else. I'm just going to be where God calls me. There's an organization called, sometimes it's called Via de Cristo, sometimes it's called Curcio. I was very involved in it back when I was young. back in Minnesota. And when I was out in California, there had been that organization too. And the way it works is they have, it's a three-day-long retreat organization, so if you've never been through, you show up as a pilgrim. And then there's the people who are going through and experiencing the weekend for the first time. And then there's the people doing all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And when I was younger, I had done every possible job all the way up to running the whole weekend. But when I was out in California, I'm like, okay, I haven't worked with this organization yet. So I talked to the people there, and I'm like, okay, I've been through this, I've been the pastor, I've done all this stuff, but I don't want to just come in and be that guy. Can I just work in the kitchen for the weekend? And you're like, so you just want to show up? I said, so you just want to show up, peel potatoes, and wash dishes? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, we can do that for you. So I spent the weekend doing dishes and peeling potatoes. And you know what? It was great. Because I got to serve. And I didn't have anybody worrying about, was I saying the right thing? It was just showing up and not worrying about my title, about honors, or anything else. Am I being respected? It was just serving. And friends, I want to ask you that. Think about it. Where are the places where you can serve and serve humbly and serve with joy? Now, there is always this natural question of what if they don't deserve it? Friends, that's everybody. Paul talks about this with, you know, if you've been here any length of time, you've heard me quote these verses where Paul writes in Romans, Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. God's kindness leads to repentance. Each of the Gospels has a different emphasis. Not that they're opposed to each other, but each of them has different points that they're trying to bring out. And I love Luke for a lot of reasons, but one of the things that Luke always does is he always talks about the lost and how Jesus goes to find the lost, the outcasts, the people who don't deserve it, the foreigners, the downtrodden, because that's where all of us are. And let me tell you this story. As you all know, I spent 12 years living in California. And if you spend more than 10 minutes in California, you know homelessness is a huge issue in California. And if you want to know how you tell the difference between somebody who has thought about homelessness and grappled with the issues and considered different ways to approach that versus somebody who is not serious, here's how you tell. If somebody says, well, the problem is simple, all you need to do is X, they don't know what they're talking about, and you can just stop listening. It is a massive, intractable problem shaped by addiction, by mental health issues, by government policies, all of those things wrap into that, okay? And people have been working hard on this, and there is no simple solution. And so good Christians can have good disagreements and healthy disagreements about how to handle that and how to respond and what the best solution is. And let me just tell you this. Where we were was about half an hour, 40 minutes north of Skid Row. And it's actually labeled on Google Maps as Skid Row. And the Union Rescue Mission and a number of other good organizations were down there. And it is exactly as bad as you would imagine. It is just, it's not a place that anybody wants to be. I'll just put it that way. And what was really interesting is our old church had this group of people. Every month, they'd go down and they'd serve breakfast through the Union Rescue Mission. Here's people who didn't deserve it, who were struggling with addiction, struggling with mental health issues, struggling with bad life choices. And they're like, we're going to go down and we're going to serve because Jesus called us to love these people. Jesus called us to care for them. And what was really interesting is thinking about it is this was a group of people Most of them were like aerospace engineers. And these were guys and gals who were very successful in their careers, guys who everybody knew were very smart. And they would just go down and humbly serve every month. Wouldn't make a big deal out of it, wouldn't say, look at me. But they would just serve with compassion in one of the worst neighborhoods in America. And friends, that's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place for us to think about, for us to think through, to explore who God has called us to be. And what I want you to think and pray about this week is, who am I called to serve? And I want you to ask yourself, who am I called to serve who I don't particularly care for? It's easy for us to say, I want to serve my friends, my neighbors, my family, those people I like. But who was Jesus serving? Jesus was washing the feet of Judas, who would betray him. Jesus was washing the feet of all his disciples who were going to run away. Jesus dies on the cross for all of us while we're still his enemies. And we are called to serve like him, to love the people around us, whether they deserve it or not. So pray and think this week, how can we serve like Jesus? How can we love the people who don't deserve it, just as we don't deserve the love of Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for how you served us, how you saved us when we didn't deserve it. Please give us your grace and wisdom and change our hearts so that we can love the people around us. We can care for them, especially when they don't deserve it. Amen.